And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
This morning's text is from our epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans the 8th chapter. And this 8th chapter of Romans has often been referred to as the assurance chapter, and with good cause. And especially toward the end of the chapter, where Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am convinced," says Paul, "that none of it will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now today, much earlier in this chapter, our text, Romans the 8th chapter in the 18th verse, these words, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Sufferings. And there's many types of sufferings. Certainly there's physical suffering, where a person is in great pain and anguish because of a disease or an illness or something that's debilitating over a long period of time. There can be mental suffering, not only dementia and Alzheimer's, but various types of mental illness that cripple an individual mentally or emotionally. And then there's also spiritual suffering because of a spiritual battle that wages within, or suffering because of one's faith, being ridiculed or rejected or punished. The Apostle Paul knew about suffering. He says, "There was given to me," says Paul, "a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Now, we're not sure just what this thorn in the flesh was for Paul. Many believe that it had something to do with his eyes. But whatever it was, on 3 occasions, Paul pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him. And God said, "No, my power will be made perfect in your weakness." Suffering? Paul was shipwrecked. On another occasion, Paul was stoned. Acts 14, then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. And they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, thinking that he was dead. He was imprisoned on several occasions. And his last imprisonment, when he wrote his second letter to Timothy, shortly before he was executed, was during the reign of the ruthless emperor Nero. And the Apostle Paul was probably beheaded in Rome around 68 AD. Sufferings. And suffering is a part of our experience here, of our life here. Why? Because of our sinful nature. In verse 22 of our epistle lesson, Paul says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together as in the pains of childbirth until now." And then in verse 23, Paul says, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Christians are not exempt from suffering. In fact, oftentimes, as a Christian, you may suffer more in this world. But the difference for the Christian is knowing Christ. Think of the sufferings of Jesus, the innocent sufferings of Jesus, who was led like a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before shears is silent. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Christ's innocent sufferings and death, he was doing it for you, for me. And all you and I need to do is to take a pair of scissors and clip off Christ and clip off his death on that cross where he died to save us from our sins and to clip off his resurrection from the dead, then suffering would not make sense at all. And so often, even as Christians, we have such tunnel vision. We focus on the here and now rather than on the there and then. Our citizenship is in heaven, not here on earth. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. But notice how often our hearts and our minds are focused on things here on this earth. But you know what? This world, in its present form, is passing away. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's the reason that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." Now, as most of you know, Linda and I are empty nesters. All four of our children are married. They have children. They have their own homes and live in different locations. Two in Johnson City, one in Knoxville, and one in Tampa, Florida. And even though our children have their own lives and their own families and their own jobs and their own homes, even now I will say to them, don't ever forget where home is. God, in speaking to you and me this morning through his word, and then daily in life itself, says, don't ever forget where home is. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Don't ever forget where home is. And it's good that God reminds us of that day by day as he speaks to me through his word and as I speak to him in prayer, lest I become overwhelmed with the sufferings of this life and the worries and the cares of this life. Don't ever forget where home is. And I'm not home yet. You're not home yet. But someday we will be home, and we won't be homesick anymore. In the meantime, what should be our attitude? It should be to be ever focused on Jesus and to encourage each other. Hold on just a little while longer. It won't be long, and you will be with Christ and live with him forever. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews chapter 4, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Consider him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen.
They say that heaven's pretty and living here is too. But if they say that I would have to choose, going home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look and see that homesick my eyes, I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve him gladly and sing him all these songs. I'm here but not for long. When I'm feeling lonely and when I'm feeling blue, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing through. I'm headed home. Going home where I belong. One day I'll be sleeping when death knocks on my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick. I'll be home where I belong.
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.